So the reason I chose William Peace was because of their stellar game design program. It's very rare to find a game design program in the United States at all, let alone North Carolina. And this place seemed like the right place for me for where I wanted to go and the connections I could make within the program.
Turn your hobby into a career in one of the highest paid professions in the country with William Peace University's Simulation and Game Design program. Master design, 3D modeling, and programming in a state-of-the-art space with the latest and most remarkable technologies available. Find out more at peace.edu.
The Aluminum Company of North Carolina is proud to sponsor Kane's Corner with Adam Gold.
Teravainen, Burns put it through again at the top of the blue paint. Back for Burns. Burns a shot, he scores! Brent Burns with the persistence. Carolina breaks through early. It's 1-0 Hurricanes. Now here's a chance, a long drive. Rebounds up for Anderson! Makes the save! First it's Barzell, then the follow-up. Dobson.
What a snare. The second one in particular.
Svechnikov charges into the Islander zone. He'll lay it back. Orlov looks for a lady. Shoots. He scores! The offense from the defense on display. Dmitry Orlov's made it 2-0 Carolina. His pass right in the middle of the ice for Svechnikov. Quick shot. They'll score! Sebastian Aho wasting no time. And Arister puts Carolina back up by two. It's 3-1 Hurricane. Barzell through the neutral zone into the Canes end. Drop back. That shot's deflected by Pellick out in front. And a great stick out in front by Jesperi Kotkaniemi on Cizikas. Romanov coming in. Mr. Anderson! Are you kidding me?
The windmill of greatness. Was there contact? Doesn't matter now, Mike. What a windmill gem.
This is Kane's Corner with Adam Gold, a production of 99.9 The Fan. Now, here's your host, Adam Gold.
Welcome to the Kane's Corner podcast. Hi, everyone. I am Adam Gold. Welcome inside Studio SIP. That's what I call a screened-in porch. After the Hurricanes beat the New York Islanders by a 3-2 count, and we are just 60 minutes away from wrapping this series up in four games. The fourth one ain't going to be the easiest one. But honestly, of all the three games that Carolina played in this series, I thought this was the one they probably should have lost. To be honest, I thought neither team was super dangerous in game one. I thought the game was played the way the Islanders wanted to play, but they didn't do enough. And Carolina got away with it, and Carolina played their best period in the third, gutted out a gritty goal, and then got the empty netter and won it 3-1. Second game was Carolina domination. Yeah, there was obviously the Islanders scored three times and had a 3-0 lead, but if you watch the game, you know that Carolina probably should have scored a lot more than the five that they did. But tonight, I thought Carolina's best moments were a little bit sporadic. I thought the Islanders were at the very least better in the first period. Carolina scored two. Then I thought Carolina's best period was the second period where Carolina gave up two, scored one. And then I thought in the third period, there were pockets of really good, but I don't think Carolina was great. They certainly weren't great offensively tonight. And yet they win it 3-2. Thankfully, Carolina's blue line played spectacularly. Frederik Andersen was outstanding. And sometimes that's all you need. So here we are. We're brought to you by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. If it's for the exterior of your home, you can find it at the Aluminum Company of North Carolina on Hamlin Road in Durham. No place like it. Sammy Hanner's crew do a great job. And I hope you check them out for all your exterior home improvement needs. Got a bunch of things I want to get to. And I thank you very much for spending some time with us on a Thursday evening when the Hurricanes move themselves one win away from advancing to the second round. And this would be the, fourth consecutive year they have gotten to at least the second round. We can go back to the pandemic, to the bubble hockey. They beat the Rangers in their opening round, best of five series, swept it. But then they lost to the Boston Bruins, which was technically the quarterfinals. So I guess they won their first playoff series. They have never gotten beaten in the first round under Rod Brind'Amour. So all of that's good. But now comes the task of finishing this one and then maybe getting a little bit of rest, because I think the Rangers are probably going to be in the same position. We might end up with three sweeps in the East. No joke. We could have three teams sitting around doing nothing while Toronto and Boston duke it out. Either way, good game, a good win for the Hurricanes, even if it was probably the Islanders' best game, best start to finish game of the series. They should feel pretty good about the way they played, just not what happened. Tough. I mean, that's hockey, man. Carolina made the Islanders pay early by basically converting on, I don't know if their best scoring chances. They didn't have many. For the entire game, Carolina only had six grade A scoring chances tonight, according to Natural Stat Trick. And frankly, I don't remember too many of them. I think the Martinook wrap chance was probably Carolina's best, highest percentage of netting a goal. The burn shot drive from the point was deflected on the way through by Islanders defenseman Mike Riley. The Orlov shot was a great shot and a little bit of a screen as well. So dynamite shot, great pass from Andre. And then the Aho shot came from about the same spot, maybe a little bit more toward the middle of the ice, but such a quick release. Again, good shot, good placement. And that's what Carolina did tonight. There wasn't a ton of danger in Carolina's game. They got away with it. Defense played great in the absence of Brett Pesce. So we'll get into all of that. We'll talk about Tony DeAngelo, everybody's favorite subject. Yes, aren't you excited? All right, so let's get to a handful of things here as we move through here as quickly as possible. And again, thank you, as always, for joining us here. If you subscribe and like and do all that other stuff, then it shows up automatically whenever you get, whenever we start. So we started a little bit earlier than I intended, but that's good. That's all good. We actually could have started even earlier, but we had some things we had to take care of. All right, let's get to, want to start with bad news? Let me start with two bits of bad news first, or at least one bit of bad news and then one observation I'm not crazy about.
Adam Gold in studio with Sammy Hanna, owner and operator of the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. Thanks for coming over. You brought a friend with you.
I did, Adam. I brought Jeff Monsignor here with me today. It's great to have Jeff continue to be a part of the Aluminum Company. Obviously, took over the company from his father in 1984, and me and him had a great time growing the company through all those years, and now we're going to continue the legacy of the Aluminum Company with myself, Ryan, all the salesmen that have continued on with the company, Dallas Frewell, Danny Newman, Patrick Day, John Alexander, Jeff Hoffman, and my children are now starting with the company.
Oh my gosh.
So we've got a new generation kicking off with the Aluminum Company to continue on the legacy.
So, Sammy,
get in here, Jeff.
Can I say something?
Please.
I'm going to elbow him out of the way. If you're thinking about exterior home improvements, give the Aluminum Company a call. Sammy has done an unbelievable, fantastic job. It makes me proud that I was able to exit the company and somebody was able to take it over to keep up the high standards that I started. So I'm very proud of Sammy as well.
You guys are amazing. Customer service is the best thing you guys do. 800-672-4348, aluminumcompany.com.
Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today, we talk brainstorms with UX designer Brian. Let's go. First question. You thought you'd see everyone's idea in the team brainstorm, but you've got a grand total of one. Drawing board or Miro board?
Drawing board, right? Because in Miro, the team can add ideas now or later. And with privacy mode, we can keep them anonymous until they're good to share.
Correct. Next, you need the best way to explain your idea, but all you have is a few sticky notes. Drawing board or Miro board?
Drawing board, because, you know, in Miro, I could record videos, add text, images, links, and digital sticky notes, of course. Present my thoughts the way I want.
Right again. Now, you're looking for a past idea you thought was just genius. Only you could find... Oh, there it is. Drawing board or...
Miro. All our finished and unfinished work lives in one place.
And he's won.
Join over 60 million people getting ideas noticed in Miro brainstorms. Get your first three boards for free at Miro.com. That's M-I-R-O.com.
Rod Brind'Amour confirmed today that Jesper Foss is not coming back in the playoffs. That's bad.
Fast is, I think, a critical piece of how Carolina plays defense. But this is why you have depth as you get into the playoffs. Yes, Barry Kotkaniemi will stay in the lineup. And frankly, we said this in the Columbus game at the end of the year. Kotkaniemi, I didn't think he was great for the entire 60 minutes of it, but I thought he was outstanding for the first period and a half, maybe two periods. And I think KK put that in front of his head coach in, you know, as if to say, hey, I want to play. And I think KK has deserved a spot. So he's playing centering the line with Natchez and Teravainen. I thought that line was very effective tonight. I thought they played well defensively, especially in the third period. And this is now three periods, three games where I think Jesperi Kotkaniemi has looked like a good player. Like legit, like a good player. So that's nice to see. He did not have a great year. He did not have a productive year. And his defense and physical game kind of waned more than ebbed and flowed because there wasn't a lot of flow. But I've liked him in the playoffs. I've liked him in three games. So good for him. And he's got a big body. He's got a good shot. You know, if they can get a confident Jesperi Kotkaniemi, then it just makes them better. So it also gives them another center anyway. They have a bunch of guys now that can take and maybe, I don't know, lose draws. Carolina got dominated in the faceoff circle tonight. I think under 40% win rate on the road. That's not typical Carolina Hurricanes hockey. Jordan Staal was one of maybe the biggest culprit of that. I think Aho finished 500. Staal was at like 33% tonight. You don't see that too many times. I don't think it was an amazing night for their line, but it was, I don't think any of Carolina's lines were bad tonight, to be honest. I think they were pretty good. I think they had good individual performances. But again, I thought the Islanders played a really good game, maybe their best game of the series, and they still lost it by a 3-2 score. So no Jesper Fast, that's bad. And I think, you know, whether or not Brett Pesce will be available at any point during the playoffs. I mean, I don't know the extent of the injury. The team hasn't revealed that. All they've said is that he's out for this series. What I've read is that they think he could play through whatever he's got, but obviously whatever he's got is not allowing him to play through it now. So at some point, the absence of Brett Pesce will be felt. And we'll talk about, you know, how they go forward when we get to the Tony DeAngelo portion of this conversation. Again, thank you very much for joining us. So let's start with the blue line simply because we're kind of geared right there. Wait, hold one second. Before we get to that, I mentioned there was one other thing I wanted to get to that is not exciting for me. And I'm not going to be alarmist here, but 0-for-2 on the power play. The Hurricanes have scored two power play goals, but I don't really love the power play all that much. So just a little bit of a concern because they were so dependent on the power play all year long. They were a much better, obviously the second best power play in the league behind Tampa. And they'll be the best power play in the league from the regular season remaining in the playoffs once Tampa gets swept out of the playoffs by Florida, which will likely happen Saturday after the Hurricanes hopefully sweep the Islanders. But the power play just hadn't looked good to me so far in the postseason. So because they were so reliant on it during the year, hopefully Carolina's 5-on-5 scoring will bump up a little bit to kind of compensate for it. I thought the penalty kill was snappy tonight. Only had to kill off basically 1.5, but it was very good. And that looks good. So they're now 4 out of 5 on the penalty kill, 2 out of 10 on the power play so far in this series. I really thought we would see a few more penalties awarded to the Islanders based on having just 3 in the first 2 games, Carolina having had 8 But it was 2-2 tonight, and each side had an abbreviated one overlapping the second and the third period. 4-on-4 hockey, by the way, has certainly benefited the Islanders, although it didn't tonight. The short period of time we were 4-on-4. So those are that. So we have the Foss thing. That's a bummer because he's out for the rest of the playoffs, as Rod said. We don't know the status of Pesci, and the power play is I don't think has been good through two games. I wouldn't be surprised, especially as Tony DeAngelo starts playing more and more and more. I wouldn't be surprised if we saw Tony make an appearance on the power play. Let's talk about Carolina's blue line tonight. I thought top to bottom is outstanding. The best part of Carolina's game tonight was on the back end. Jacob Slavin did his normal Jacob Slavin stuff defensively. I thought Brent Burns was outstanding tonight defensively. The play he made to break up the centering pass, and I'm trying to remember who tried to make the pass, but he basically deked him into trying to pass it low as opposed to back high. I think the pass was initially he was trying to get the pass kind of into the high slot. But Burns took that away and then flipped his stick over along the ice and, you know, stopped the pass from getting across. I thought Brent played great. I think Carolina's best defenseman tonight, though, was Dmitry Orlov. You know, when you combine the goal and you combine some of the plays he made offensively, I thought Orlov was dynamite tonight. And for those people who have been listening to me talk about these players and this team all year long, you know two things. I've already praised two players that I have not been fond of this year in terms of how they've played. Jesperi Kotkaniemi, who I think has played very well in three games. And I think Orlov was awesome tonight. And I think Orlov has been, I mean, as advertised over the last couple of months, maybe 3 months, really has been, it's been so good. And now with the absence of Pesci, you see how important it is to have somebody else who is so reliable as a top four defenseman. And yeah, I just said that. I think Orlov has become reliable. And the partnership with Jalen Chatfield for Orlov is just spectacular, to the point where in a game that Rod Brind'Amour knew was going to be hard to win, rather than bump Orlov into Pesci's spot, which he has done in the past, he simply slotted Tony right there and left Chatfield and Orlov for the most part together. For the most part, that's the way it worked. Those guys were together for the bulk of the night together. So I thought Chatfield was great jumping up into the play as often as he did. There's one point I thought he was hurt too, but he and Seth Jarvis, who looked like he was definitely hurt at the end of the first period, but he was fine, came back and started the second. Carolina started the second on a power play. But I thought Orlov was just outstanding. I made him one of my stars of the game. I think he was the third star, Andrei Svechnikov, the second star. And we'll talk about Andrei in a minute. Best forward in the game for me. And first star was Frederik Andersen. But back to the defense. So we got to get rid of the preconceived notions, and I'm not immune to them. I came into this season thinking that Tony DeAngelo would be a benefit, offensively would be a benefit to Carolina. But I also came into the season thinking that I didn't know where he was going to play, because the way I think this was supposed to work out, and I thought Carolina was kind of committed to bringing Tony in anyway, but the way I thought it was supposed to work out was Carolina was going to trade, most likely, Pesci in the offseason, and Orlov would go to where Pesci's spot is and Chatfield with DeAngelo. Chatfield and DeAngelo would be the third defensive pairing. Well, they never did move Pesci, waited too long, and the places they were trying to trade Pesci to had either moved on to something else or Carolina wasn't getting what they wanted back. And honestly, trading Brett Pesci would have been a mistake anyway, because you're not getting closer to winning a Stanley Cup by trading him. We talked about this in the offseason or in the preseason leading up. But now Pesci's hurt And but quickly back to preconceived notions. So Rod Brind'Amour was trying to make Tony D'Angelo happen beginning of the season. So he was playing over Jalen Chatfield. And a lot of us thought, I did, talked about it a lot, that Orloff needed Chatfield's defensive protection. It's not like Tony D'Angelo can't skate. He can. It's not like he can't play defense. He can. It's just not his natural ability. He's an offensive player. Well, kind of. So is Orloff. So it's hard for Orloff to learn and do the things he's comfortable doing if Tony is sort of freelancing and doing that too. And they were a mess, an absolute utter mess. And that in large part was responsible for why Carolina was leaky defensively in the first month and a half or so of the season. And then Rod just went, can't live with it. Jalen Chatfield's in, and that's the way basically it stayed the rest of the way. Orloff eventually caught up to speed, and now we're seeing reaping the benefits of that. Orloff, again, was dynamite tonight. But a huge part of that was the decision to say, yeah, we're not going to make Tony happen anymore. We're going to let Chatfield play. And it did create some difficult times for D'Angelo, who wants to play, Rod, who wanted to play him, and the front office trying to accommodate D'Angelo by seeing if there was a trade for him. I want to make this clear. The team didn't really want to trade D'Angelo. They were trying to do right by him because D'Angelo wants to play and is good enough to play. Stop. Whether he's a top four defenseman in the NHL or not, probably not. He's probably a bottom pair. And there are plenty of defensemen in the league who are not great defensemen, but are good offensive players. And that's where Tony D'Angelo, I just described him. But there's nobody in the organization that thought they didn't need Tony D'Angelo around. They absolutely did. You need depth on defense because you're going to lose somebody. So from December 12th on, Tony played in 15 games. A couple of those, Carolina dressed seven defensemen, maybe three of them, they dressed seven defensemen and he barely played. But in the, let's just say, dozen games that he played, Tony was good. He didn't play a ton. He didn't play more than 15, 16 minutes in any of the games. And he played just short of 16 minutes tonight. But Tony was good. And did they protect him? Did they hide him from the top lines when possible? Yeah, of course they did. They didn't tonight, by the way. Tony and Shea just basically took shifts. Tony took missed a few here and there, but and probably played a little bit less in the third period than he did in the first two. But they didn't really have to hide Tony tonight. And he's playing with Brady Shea, somebody he's used to playing with, and I thought that pair was good. It's clearly not Carolina's best defensive pairing. Tony can be a defensive liability, but I didn't think he was tonight. I thought Tony was good. He was on the ice for the first goal, but I don't think that was his fault. I think that was more Kuznetsov and Natchez, the first making a poor decision to go help out, I believe it was Teravainen, who was tracking, was it Anders Lee, who made the pass to Pierre Engvall at the top of the crease? I think it was Anders Lee. Well, Teravainen hit. He was doing his job going out and getting Lee. Kuznetsov didn't have to help him. And what that did was that it left Natchez behind the play. Natchez probably should have seen Kuznetsov going out there. But honestly, Kuznetsov shouldn't have left Engvall in front of the net. I mean, you're the center. That's really your job. So that, to me, that's what really caused the goal. Earlier in the play, D'Angelo made a good defensive play and got the puck. I don't remember who it was to. It might have been Teravainen on the left side of the ice. And Turbo didn't do a good job of carrying it out. I think it kind of glanced off his stick, and the Islanders maintained possession, so that group was still caught out on the ice, and they had been out for a while. So anyway, that was the only real ugliness. And again, I don't think it was Tony's fault or Brady Shea's fault. I don't think that goal was the fault of the defense as much as it was not great playmaking by the forwards. Anyway, back to the blue line. Carolina was good. There is some notion out there that the Hurricanes why didn't they play Scott Morrow? And I will simply say it this way. If you watch the Hurricanes' final regular season game against Columbus, you would know why the Hurricanes shouldn't and won't put Morrow on the ice unless they have no other option. He's not ready. He made a bunch of questionable decisions with the puck in a nothing game against Columbus, where when you're playing against much bigger, much better teams, when they see 56 go on the ice, they are going to attack the living bleep out of him. And it's just a turnover waiting to happen. So no, Tony's fine. As we get deeper into the playoffs, they might try to hide him a little bit more. There's going to be times where Tony's going to make the mistake and it might end up in your net. Tony is who he is. Again, he's Carolina's sixth best defenseman, and maybe they get Brett Pesce back. Okay, maybe they do. All right, let's run through a couple of other things. But again, I thought the defense was dynamite tonight. Last year, we didn't realize, probably. We said it. We talked about it. Oh, man, we missed Andrei Svechnikov. Yeah, I don't think we realized how much we missed Andrei Svechnikov last year. We're seeing the best version of Andrei even without a goal. The goals will come. But primary assists as often as he's got. Let's just go back. The Aho goal that made it 3-3 in game two. Andrei, primary. The Orlov goal that made it 2-0. Andrei, primary assist. The Aho goal that made it 3-1, that restored the two-goal lead. Andrei, primary assist. All three great passes. Andre's been great. We talked about the penalty he took in the first period of game one, which I said at the time, I thought that was more unlucky than anything else. I thought it was two guys battling. And Andre's, it wasn't a careless high stick. It was more the shaft of his stick came up. I have loved every second of Andrei Svechnikov through three playoff games, every single second. He has been the power forward, but he is a great playmaker. He's an elite passer. The goals will come, and Andrei just looks like he is relaxed and just playing hockey. So I think these are all good signs. We talked about it at the beginning of the playoffs. I thought there were two keys to Carolina's long-term stay in the postseason. Part of it is that I'm using the Aho line as a given, or Aho Gensel, Jarvis's production as givens. To me, Andrei and Teuvo Teravainen are the two players who, if they have really good, productive postseasons, I think Carolina's playing a lot of games. So I'm talking about into the 20s, which is you're in the Stanley Cup Finals. If you play 22 games, at least four of them will be in the finals. So anyway, Andre's been absolutely dynamite, and that's a great sign. And I think putting Aho with Gensel and Svechnikov with Gensel and Aho just gives them a little bit of a bigger physical presence on that line, which is something Rod's always wanted. As good as Jarvis, and he can be a physical player too, as good as Jarvis was with Aho and Gensel, I think Svech just gives it a little bit more intimidation factor, if that's even something that they do. But it just gives him a little bit more size. And Jarvis has been great with Staal and Martinook anyway. And now it looks like since you're not going to have Jesper Fast, so you don't have to worry about that line getting back together, it's going to stay. My guess is it'll stay with Jarvis. I don't know. Who knows? You never know if somebody cycles back. Maybe they go back to Svech there. But I think the way we have it, at least in the top two lines, the Staal line being the second one, if you will, and the Aho line, I think those are going to stay the same for the time being. And then we'll see how we'll just call it the bottom six, how that shakes out. Right now, Kokaniemi playing well in between Natchez and Teravainen. I don't think we have seen consistently great out of Kuznetsov, but he certainly has made a bunch of good plays. And I thought for the first period in game number one, I thought he was pretty good, right? He gets that initial power play goal that made it 1-0. I thought he was good early. He ended up with two assists. He ended up with the assist on the Nason goal too in the third period. So I thought certainly there, that line has had some moments. Nason had the goal that made it 2-1. Drury had the assist on the Martinook goal, the bump up shift in game two, 9 seconds after I tied it. I don't want to get too far. I got two more things to get to. We don't have very much time at all. I didn't think that Rod would start going into coming out of Monday night. I didn't think Rod would start Freddie in game three because I didn't think Freddie was particularly good in game two. And I think going back and looking at all of game one, I thought Freddie was meh for the first 30 minutes of it. Now, as I said then, and I insist now, he should have been the game's first star. He was the best player. He was the reason they won because Freddie was spectacular in the third period. And he was excellent at the end of the second, having to make the stops on Palmieri and Barzal from point blank range. And then the save on Dobson. And Noah Dobson, by the way, has had a rough go. Think about three of the biggest plays, biggest moments in the series. The save from game one, where Freddie's in the seat of his pants and he goes over with two hands and he makes the save on Dobson to deny the goal at 1-1 early in the third. Then in game two, Monday night, Dobson's behind the net when Drury cycles the puck back there after the Aho goal. I think Dobson hears some footsteps with Staal coming from the other side. Martinook completely ragdolled him off the puck. Carolina gets it and scores. Martinook gets the goal. And then tonight, Dobson has a grade A opportunity and just can't get it to go because Freddie makes another ridiculous save. It's like Freddie has saved all his ridiculousness for Noah Dobson and Alexander Romanov. That was a spectacular windmill save in the third period. But Freddie's been great. I didn't think Rob would go to him. I thought they would go to Kochetkov and then come right back with Anderson on a day and a half rest because the next game is Saturday at 2. But Rod decided, maybe given the day, said, you know what? I trust Freddie. He's the guy. He's been amazing. He hasn't been terrible. He just hasn't necessarily been start to finish awesome in the two games. But he was tonight. I thought this was Fredericks of Copenhagen. I thought it was his best game tonight. He didn't have to make a lot of spectacular saves. He made, two 10 bellers, but I thought there were fewer shaky moments from Anderson. Maybe no shaky moments. At least I can't think of one right now. I thought he located the puck better tonight than he has in the past couple of games. He needed less help from his defense in terms of clearing guys out of the way. I think what Carolina did very well tonight defensively was allow Freddie to see pucks. The only time that he really didn't was the Nelson goal toward the end of the second period, about a little over 2 minutes left, when the initial shot hit Kyle Palmieri in front. And then the puck fell right to Brock Nelson, who swept it into what was really at that point an empty net. But I thought Anderson was excellent tonight. And one more thing, and this is just kind of poking fun, but it was clear going in that ESPN was looking for some Carolina Hurricane road narrative. 2 years ago in the playoffs, Carolina lost all three games in Boston, then lost all three games in New York before coming home to lose game seven. That was something that we were there. It happened. Now, that doesn't mean that Carolina's a bad road team. It's just that that particular playoff season, they struggled on the road. So they used that as Carolina just 3-10 on the road in the last two playoff seasons. Okay. Fact. But last year they were 3-4 on the road, including 2-1 at UBS Arena. So if we're going to go through the narrative, you at least got to say, but they didn't have a problem winning on Long Island as they closed the series out in six games. And by the way, they split the two games in New Jersey too. So it's kind of intellectually dishonest to talk about Carolina's poor road record in the playoffs when the most recent sample size is 3-4. And I'll bet, I could be crazy here, I'll bet Every team would take 3-4 on the road in the postseason. Every single one. Because you're supposed to win more of your home games. You go 3-4 on the road. I don't think that's too bad. Yeah, exactly. Anyway, they were 0-6 2 years ago. 3-4 last year. So there you go. There goes your narrative. All right, let's jump out of here. Hopefully, Brett Pesce will come back. But right now, Carolina's in good shape. I'll just say it. I think Rod should go to Piotr in game four. But I certainly would see an argument to let Freddie go. Let's win this game. Let's get out of here. Let's get some rest. Although Rod hates rest. Because to him, it's rust. It's not rest.
Are you ready to buy or sell your home? The Jim Allen Group is a nationally recognized and award-winning real estate team in the Triangle, dedicated to providing exceptional service to meet your needs. With the latest insights and expert market knowledge, they'll make your home buying and selling journey as smooth as possible. Don't wait. Head over to jimallen.com and start your next move today. That's jimallen.com. The Jim Allen Group, your partner in real estate.
I chose William Peace University because of the small class sizes. I feel that you get more one-on-one time with teachers. With class sizes like about 16 per teacher, you can really get that one-on-one help a lot of students need.
A 12-to-1 student to faculty ratio is just one of the many reasons students choose William Peace University. Extra attention starts day one for career planning with their Career Services Center. Find out all they have to offer at peace.edu.
All right, we're brought to you by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. If it's for the exterior of your home, you can find it at the Aluminum Company of North Carolina on Hamlin Road in Durham. No place like it. Sammy Hanna and his crew do a great job. You should check them out for all your exterior home improvement needs. On Saturday, we'll be here, early evening, late afternoon, depending. Hopefully we won't have a very long hockey game. It'll be three quick periods. Carolina will win comfortably. Let's say 4-1. That would be nice. So we can just kind of cruise into the second round. But you know what? It ain't going to happen that way. It's going to be another hard-fought, gut-check type of game. But that's playoff hockey, baby. Carolina defense won it. Frederick Anderson was great. Andrei Svechnikov was the real deal. So until Saturday, rate, review, subscribe, like, caress, do what you have to do. And we will see everybody back here on Saturday on the Canes Corner podcast. Thank you very much. Have a wonderful night.
You've been listening to the Canes Corner podcast with Adam Gold.
Hey, I want to drive the Zamboni. Yes, I do.
The Canes Corner podcast is a part of the Capital Broadcasting Podcast Network.
Your heart, it's the only one you have. Fortunately, you also have a choice. Expert cardiologists, talented surgeons, highly skilled specialists, all of whom chose WakeMed. Why? The main reason is the same reason patients choose WakeMed. Everything you need for the best possible care is right here. Learn more at WakeMed.org. WakeMed Heart and Vascular Physicians. Your heart, your choice.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a Swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win?
Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.